Not just is this just a specific letter to Timothy, but it's a letter to you. It's a letter for every one of us. It's a strengthening letter. It's a letter, in my opinion, it says a couple of things. It says a bunch of things, but in my opinion, it has to do with duty. What is your divine elected duty by God? And what are the promises that are involved in the duty that we're engaged in and what we're involved with? And so here I go in this first verse. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. I'm going to back up right here, and I want to kind of capture the moment. And here's Paul, and he's as if he's saying, I'm standing before the presence of God. I'm in the presence of God right here. And Timothy, I want you to listen, because I'm going to say something that they're very much hearing and they're in accord with. And God Almighty is sitting on the throne, and he's leaning forward, and he's listening, and he has endowed me to say this, because I'm going to speak to you, Timothy, and I'm going to charge you. And this is a charge. This is a holy decree. This is a mandate. This is something that says, listen up, beware, be careful, watch what I'm about to say, and then perform it. It's your duty. Do what I am going to tell you, Timothy. And so he says that he says that I say this before the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. Well, Larry just mentioned a few words that we had here before this service, but he who is going to judge the quick and the dead, if we don't die, we're going to get judged. Now, that judgment doesn't necessarily have to mean a severe spanking. Doesn't have to mean condemnation and being cast into hell. But the judgment is going to be there for the quick, and the quick means the living. And so he says, I say this, I charge thee before God Almighty, before his Son Jesus Christ right here, that he charges you that he is the judge of the quick and the dead. So we're all going to stand before him if we're living. We're going to stand, and he's going to judge those that are living. And he's going to make some kind of judgment. But before I get too far right here, he's going to judge the dead. Now, we were talking right here. This room would be filled if it was re-inhabited by the people that I knew when I was a young man, when I was a young guy right here. This room was filled with stellar men and women. Men and women, when a preacher was reading the Word of God, and I'd hear the Word of God right here, then I'd look around and I'd say, there's one of them right there. That's who he's talking about. Steadfast and strong in the faith and full of courage and full of faith and full of good works and doing his duty every Sunday. And every time the doors was open, he did his or she did their duty. The duty here that has been adjured to Timothy and then to us. And so, he's going to judge that. Now, in that judgment right here, it says in the back of the book, in Revelations, it says there in the ending chapters of the Revelation right here, he says he's judged according to their works. All right? This is talking to me, but it's talking to you. And it's talking in the sense of, in my way of looking at it, as a businessman. In the sense of a man who, the Bible says, that he sows where he didn't reap. He gathers where he didn't harvest. He's able to reap a harvest, to gather a harvest right here. Even if he himself didn't lay down some seed right here, he is going to gather. And so as a businessman, or as a wise farmer, as a wise man, what he's doing is he's making judgments. And he's looking at his children. He's looking at all of mankind. And what he's looking at is, are you profitable for the kingdom? Are you making me money? Are you a positive? Are you a force for good in my kingdom that I'm bringing to pass here on earth? That he's looking and he's counting every one of us, and he may be doing this. When we going to get up? When we going to get rolling? When does your testimony begin? When are you going to stop doing what you've been doing? You know that's not in my favor. That kind of thing. And so before he does that, that this great God is going to, who stands or sits before the judgment seat, and he's going to make judgments just like that. And so there's going to be, as you know, in the book of Daniel right here, there was a big what do they call that thing? Scales, a balance. And in that balance right here, Belshazzar was in that balance. And Daniel had to come and tell him, he said, Belshazzar, you need to know you're not going to make it tonight. Your life, you're coming back before the judge of the quick and the dead tonight. You won't live to see tomorrow. And you need to know where that God who sees everything, nothing is hid from that God. You're going to see in that balance there that, I'm sorry, Belshazzar, right here, but you're on the left side of the balance. You've been found wanting. The judge, the businessman, the wise steward, all of whatever we would imagine and however we see him in the scriptures right here, he's making these evaluations. Every day, he's looking at us, and he's counting on us doing our duty. He's counting, he says, now I have invested in you. He was giving a little bit of age right here to me right here. I've invested over 53 years in you, Randy. Are you doing what is the standard? Are you doing your duty? Are you doing what you ought to do? Well, the judge of the quick and dead is going to come one day, and it says there also, the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Well, I hear that everywhere, and not by just a whole lot of just real Christian people that you would think are real Christian people. But I hear that. I wonder if the Lord's coming back. I wonder if it's true. Or I think he is coming back. I think he's on his way. And I'm hearing that rumbling across the land, and the people that I talk with and I associate with, there is this kind of an anxiety and an anticipation of that coming that he's spoken of right here. It's going to come one day. I happen to believe it's going to come soon. I was talking with somebody just the other day. He said, Randy, he says, I think it's probably sooner than we think. And I think it is. And so he's looking, the judge is looking, he's looking at us to see if we're doing our duty. Now the duty, that symbolizes to me the bare minimum to keep me employed. If I'm doing my duty, if I work for a storekeeper right here, I'm sweeping the floor, I kept the books up, you know, I looked at the library right here and I got that all right, I pulled the curtains back, I shined the windows right here, I did the duty. And that's what I was told to do. But then if sometime on my time off, or sometime when I make time and in my busy day, I'm pulling up the carpet right here and I'm vacuuming underneath the carpet. I'm going back in the closet. The rarely people go back and I'm kind of straightening things up. I'm doing things that the store master keeper right here didn't really see and didn't outline for me to do, but I did it. Well, that's that 80-fold or 100-fold spoken of the scriptures. And so he's delighted in that. And how many people have you met? Maybe you're one of them right here who is not satisfied with just the required duty. You got baptized, you came to church on Sunday morning right here, and you didn't steal, and you ain't smoking snuff right here, and as far as you can tell, you're looking all right, doing your duty. But I believe the Lord is looking beyond that. He is looking for excellence. He's looking for his children to be a force. Just like they said there in Acts, right here, it says, those disciples, what did it say about those disciples? It turned the world upside down. So here he is, he's coming right here, and so Paul, through the Lord right here to Timothy, says, I adjure you, I charge you to do this, second verse, to preach the word. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach the word. Now, Brother Bill Malone, I don't think I've heard it since then, but he's the first one that I ever heard it from right here and made that stick. He says, you, all of you, preach the word. But if you have to, use words. That was Bill Malone right here. I don't know if he made it up right here, but that was one of those mind stickers right there. Well, if you go back to the scripture right here, two verses in the end part of chapter 3 right here, it talks about all scripture. And all scripture is given for inspiration of God. All scripture, the one that I'm reading right here, is given for these reasons. Given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is for us. So he's talking to us. He's talking to everybody. All the scripture pertains to anybody who wants to know what is our duty. What is it that he wants of us? God Almighty right here, he's got big plans and he's got big mind. He's got big ideas. And this is what he wants. And he has a level. And he's expecting us to meet that level. Now, you all remember the little parable there. I think it's in the 25th chapter of Matthew. And he's talking about this businessman, I'm talking about this lord of the vineyard, this big farmer right here. And he's going to go on a long journey. And so he's going to distribute a talent or two or five to a few of his men. And so he gets three of these guys right here, gives one five, and gives another two, I think. Another one right here. And he says, occupy until I come again. So he goes, just like Jesus left. When he left Jerusalem right here, he told him, he says, occupy until you be endowed with the Holy Spirit. Occupy until I come back. Occupy faithfully, dutifully. And so these men stayed put right here, and the master left, and he came back. Probably, if you read between the lines right here, probably a little surprised were these three men. Probably not just exactly ready for him to return, but had been occupied. So the guy with the five talents right here, the master, the lord, the farmer, who the businessman, he comes back. And he asked him, he says, have you occupied faithfully? Have you done your duty? He said, well, Lord, he says, I think I have. And he says, you gave me five right here, and I multiplied them. They increased. That's your duty. They increased, and now I give back to you, which is yours, 10 talents. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. Well done, Church of Christ members. You have occupied faithfully, and you haven't sat on your talents. You haven't kept your talents here on Sunday morning, and you come back and you sat on them again the next Sunday morning right here. But those talents that you had, that you made, that you gathered, that you expanded, that you multiplied with, when you come back, boy, he's good. He got some more. You know, Don Hitt, he's the dad, Don Hitt, says this. He says, you know, he says, I was reading the scripture the other day, or I was talking to a brother or sister, or had this experience right here. He says, I learned something. Ooh, I like the sound of that. I learned something. And what does that mean if you carry that a bit? I learned something, and that's going to be in my tool bag. That's going to be something that I'm going to do from now on. I learned how to be more faithful, how to be more charitable, how to be more forgiving, how to be not so quick to cast an aspersion or a judgment towards somebody. I learned something. Doing his duty. He's growing. He's multiplying. All right. So it says, preach the word and be instant in season. And so I would say, in my own terminology, in the way I have my funny way of looking at things right here. We are in season right here. You are growing. You're hearing. You're occupying. You're coming here, and you want to have invested in your little bag of effort right here on how to do things and how to serve the Lord right here. And so you're in season. You're instant in season right now. But there comes a time where you're out of season. Well, I think that's when we leave here. And that's where the preaching begins. That little they got a camp up there in North Kansas City, up there in Kansas City, Presbyterian camp. And they got a big old arbor over the entranceway right here. Big, I guess it's what you call it, big old gigantic arbor. And it says, Welcome Christian Camp. So you drive in there and you get into your cabin. And Becky and some of the women right here, the women have actually spent a weekend there. And so anyway, they come in and have a good time. They learn about the Bible and the Book of Mormon. They learn about the faith right here. And then the time is over with quickly. They get into their cars and they leave. And as they're leaving, they've got to go underneath that same arbor. But they didn't see it on this side as they're going out. Now go serve. Well, that's what the Lord wants. It don't count. It really, in my opinion, it doesn't count. Us sitting here coming to church on Sundays, except the benefit, and it's good. I'm not dissing it right here. But where it counts, where the talents begin expanding, is when we're out there and we go out these doors right here and we're serving. And who are we serving? We're serving the Lord. And the Lord's ambition and His desire, He was sent to save mankind. His whole heart, His great heart, I'm out. To save him. We got a little girl. My dad, he's infirm. He spent most of his time in a reclined seat. He's blind. He can't feel. He can't hardly walk. He can't hardly feed himself. He's got to be taken care of. We got several women taking care of him. One of those gals, there's actually two of them, but the one I'm talking about has been in the mire. Has from the get-go just been rubbed in the filth and the excrement of life. Has no fault of her own right here, was just raised that way and just get back in the cesspool in the septic tank. Don't come out. And she's lived that life. And that life has had that terrible effect on her. And I'm telling you, God is touching her soul. God is reaching out. He is calling her in. And He's putting His arms around her. And I want to tell you, I see it every time I talk to her, and I see her right here. She's learning and growing and rejoicing in everything that's good and godly. She loves it. She can't get enough of it. And I'm praying for her. Pray it every night. Pray it for myself. Lord, save us. Save us. So anyway, preach the word and be instant in season and out of season. And as we're preaching, and as we're living, and as we're, people are asking questions, just like came up in our Sunday school class, right? Well, I noticed that you ain't cussing and smoking and doing all this other stuff, right? As people observe, and they're looking on right here, the preaching is going on. And the Lord is preaching. And He's preaching through us if we're available, if we're doing our duty. And there are promises that go with that. But all of that preaching, And I want to be wary of this myself, is it's done by long suffering. That's not done by you know, come on, get with the program. Get over it right here. Start being righteous. Start, you know, do what you should do right here. Get away from that. It comes by the Lord's patience and by our patience. And we're to exercise that. There's nothing more ugly, in my opinion. There's nothing more ugly with a man or a woman who is impatient to the split second. It just makes me angry. You know, and that doesn't bless anybody. But I'll tell you where there's a blessing. It's just like I was talking with this Mark Preston right here. He's patient with Cletus. And Cletus is sitting there right in front of him right here drinking his beer and probably belching right here. And boy, Mark was probably smelling that, you know, and Cletus, whatever, lighting up and so forth and being obnoxious, as a lot of people do in their test. And as that's going on, Mark Preston is just reading the word. I can endure this. I'm long-suffering. Best one, and you may have heard this, but best long-suffering I ever saw, I was down in Mexico. Did you ever meet Vicente? Did you meet Vicente? Plays a guitar as good as anybody on earth can play it. And so they had him play his guitar special. And so he come up, and he's playing his guitar, and oh boy, and singing good, just beautiful right here, playing all up and down the neck of that thing, just sweet notes right here. Well, in behind him, they had a side door, came a drunk into the service. You tell me not to say this, or... Oh. Okay. I thought she was going to kiss. And so anyway, so this drunk comes in. And this drunk has got a what might be called a guitar. We couldn't really determine that, if it was really a guitar or not, but it had three strings on it. I think a guitar's got five of them or six. Anyway, so he comes in, and he's high-fiving, and he's talking to everybody. Vicente's playing this beautiful music. He looks at him, keeps playing, doesn't miss a note. Didn't miss anything. Beautiful. This guy coming in, hey, amigo, ¿cómo estás? You know, and finally he comes in, he finds his chair, and he's sitting there, and he's still nodding at people and waving and so forth and making a little racket. Finally, it dawns on him that somebody's playing a song. And so he looks up there, and, well, I can just join him. So he gets his three-string guitar right here, dong, ding, dong, ding, like this. And my eyes connected with Vicente. And I'm thinking, this has got to be hard. I bet you want to hit him with your guitar. I bet you do right here. And I looked into Vicente's heart. I think I saw his heart, his soul. And it said, and it kind of goes like this. This is what you have to do to endure. I will endure this. And I'll continue to play. It's beautiful. Just beautiful. Well, this is what the injunction, this is part of this charging that the Lord has charged us with, is to be that patient, godly, a person under control, serving the Lord as we serve someone else. Okay, third verse. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Well, I think we have arrived at that time. That there's coming a time for which they, whoever the they is, maybe some members of the church, but mostly those outside right here, there's coming a time where they will not endure, they will not like, they will not tolerate sound doctrine. Now, if you go over there, over to Hebrews in the sixth chapter right here, in my opinion, on the first six verses right here, is a kind of a capsule of the sound doctrine. And that doctrine is leaving again the practice of faith and repentance and baptism. Let us go on unto perfection. And it says not performing again, laying on of hands, of the doctrine of resurrection and eternal judgment. All right? Well, those things right here spoken of, most people do not like. If you was to say in a crowd of the world right here, say, well, you just got to have faith, you'd have them laughing at you. If you was in some Christian circles right here, and say, well, I tell you what we need to do is we need to exercise faith, and maybe we ought to kneel down and we ought to ask God for an answer. We ought to ask God for you to reveal. that we don't want to take the time to do that. Repentance. We heard, and I'm not castigating our soon-to-be president right here, but he said, I haven't got anything to repent of. He said that. All right, well, there's a whole lot of people. That's a strange doctrine. Repentance. You mean I got to turn away from drinking that bud right here and smoking that cigarette and saying those kind of things, and I got to quit living the way I live right here, and I got to start being squeaky and lily clean right here? Well, basically, that's the doctrine. The doctrine that Jesus is talking about is, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are those that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Those are the doctrine that the Lord has laid out. The world doesn't like that. They find that strange. Laying on of hands. How many churches have you been in? The doctrine that says that in your Bible says the doctrine of laying on of hands. Well, how many churches are going to do that if they have a baptism? If they have an ordination? If they're blessing a baby? Right here. The doctrine of laying on hands filled through the scriptures right here. It's everywhere, but it's a doctrine. Doctrine of baptisms, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the baptism, the water baptism. You know what? And I have argued this with many of Baptists. And it was last Wednesday, I had a 3-hour conversation with two ultra fundamental Baptists right here about that very thing. They don't like that doctrine. They don't like the doctrine of that you got to be baptized. They think that they can make up their own mind if they want to get baptized or not. And if I don't want to get baptized, I don't think the Lord's going to hold that against me. And so anyway, there's a whole lot of doctrines. The doctrine of eternal judgment. People don't like that. They don't want that. They don't want these kind of doctrines that make them change their ways and turn upside down their life. They don't want that. But what do they want? Well, it says down there a little bit later right here, they want preachers, they want confidants, they want influential people who will tell them things that itch their ears. They will tell them things right here that, ooh, I like that. Oh, man, I choose to believe that. And so, in our Book of Mormon right here, there's a fellow by the name of Korihor. And Korihor come in, and that's just exactly what he was preaching. He says, there is no God, there is no atonement, and so therefore there's no lawgiver, and so we can do whatever we want. And there's no law against that. And so if I want to live with a bunch of women right here, or if I want to be a homosexual, or if I want to drink beer until the kingdom come right here, ain't nobody can say I can't do that, because there is nobody that's got a law that says that I can't. And so I choose not to believe in that being. Well, there's also the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans, you'll find that in Revelation there. And the doctrine of the Nicolaitans is that it's kind of like once saved, always saved. It is, we can do anything and there will not be a judgment against us by God Almighty, because He forgives His children and He lets it loose. All right? That's part of these doctrines the world does not want. And we're finding ourselves in a minority getting smaller all the time. Because the world wants to hear and have their ears itched. And they want to hear things that tell them they're doing all right. They're doing okay. Boy, you are fine. And so we were talking in Sunday school class about the homosexuals, the good people. Well, we've got the standard. And we know where the measurement of goodness begins and ends right here. And it begins by just doing your duty. By just doing the duty. And if we do the duty right here, then we're going to be judged on doing our duty right here. But a lot of people don't want to do their duty. Okay, let me go further here. Fourth verse. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. We've got a little booklet there at the temple lot, and it talks about the rapture. And what does it say about it? A modern day fable. And anything, in my opinion, I had this experience, and I was talking about coming up any other way than that which is the way is the same as a thief and a robber. I was down in Tennessee, Imperial, Tennessee, and I was having a class or preaching. I came to Manchester, Tennessee. And they got a little side room there. And that's where they keep the coffee and they keep the records and the business office. But it's small, probably 8x8, 10x10. And it's got a wall that goes all the way up to almost the ceiling right here, all the way around right here. But that's open. That part's open right there. So we got a sister there, and her name is Geneva. I said, Geneva, what would you think if after our service right here, you kind of watched me and I just sort of just moseyed over around the corner of that little office. Here's the door of the office right here. But I went around the corner of the office, and I get over here, and you see me start to climb up, and I'm going to get in through that window. What would you do?
I think I'd shoot you.
Yep. Well, anyway, I believe that there's a whole lot of folks. They're looking for a big, broad way. They're looking for the rapture as an example. I'm not going to have to endure. Ain't no duty involved right here. I'm going to get in a puff right here. I'm driving your bus, and we're driving this bus, and the Lord sees fit, and he takes me up through the windshield of that bus right here. I'm sorry about you folks right here, but down you go over the canyon. Well, it's a fable. Oh, it's a fable right here to think, you know, that somehow God is going to just with pixie dust is going to cover me, and no matter what I do and how I do it or repentance is not really necessary because I'm saved. It's a fable. And so that's what they're doing. In the last days, they're going to be turned to fables. Fifth verse. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. I was talking to Brian McIndoe just 2 weeks ago, I guess. And he was at the temple lot, and he come in. And we were talking about our dads. And just like I told you about my dad, he's just sitting there, just sort of leveled out in a chair right here, and he's totally dependent on somebody taking care of him. He just can't do it. Well, Donnie, it's a crying shame right here. But Donnie is losing his eyes, and he's seeing those days coming. They're coming. And so he was talking about his dad, Donnie. And he said, Dad, he can get a little discouraged and so forth, but he's holding pretty firm, holding pretty firm. And they had a business meeting, a priesthood meeting. And in the priesthood meeting right here, Andy Brown is the pastor down there now. And so he's talking to all the ministers right here. He said, okay, now, he said, I need a minister for this date right here. And somebody said, okay, well, I'll take it. And I need another minister right here. And all the dates are filled and all the ministers are appointed except one date, and one man hadn't offered, and that's Donnie. And Andy said, well, he says, you know, we got one open date right here. Finally, Donnie, boy, he's going like this. Well, give it to me. And what Brian said, he says, you know what? When we're looking at our dads right here, you know what that is? That's enduring afflictions, enduring to the end, all the way to the end. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now here's a little jewel that I got right here. I couldn't tell you when, probably 53 years ago. Give full proof of thy ministry. It was probably in a Sunday school class, and Orrin and Skeet and Brother Shaw and all those guys were talking right here. And I think it was Ronald Shaw. They said, well, he said, I want to tell you. He says, I hope they got enough evidence when they haul me up before the judge to convict me of being a Christian. Well, that's what that is, proof of your calling, proof of your ministry, proof of your preaching, proof of your life, that everybody's looking. Now, I tell you what they do. Nobody misses anything. and especially a worldly man. My brother come up with this, and I don't know if this is original or not, but he says, a wicked worldly man knows exactly when you've done some unchristian deed. The world knows exactly when that was kind of callous. That was a rather cruel thing that you said. Why, I didn't realize that you was that selfish. Oh, I didn't know that you thought that so much of yourself about that without regard to other people. World sees that. Crystal, eagle clear. Well, this is what we are to do is to make full proof of who we are. Our duty. It's our duty. Our duty is that when we leave here, and as we're shaking hands and we're eating together, our duty is to conduct ourselves as children of the King. When that swear word starts to come up, probably when you was on the first day after baptism right here, when that swear word comes up right, it's got to be squelched. I ain't talking like that no more. That little stinking thought that I've got, and I get this little thought right here, stop evil thought and go back to the dungeon. All the things that I might do that betray your little selfishness or egocentricity, all the things, do it right, they've got to be buried and hopefully removed. On my computer right here, I've got a delete button right here, and I've been deleting like crazy on mine. No bad stuff on there, but I got my computer went crazy. But I'm deleting stuff right here. Well, I tell you what, sometimes when it's deleted and it's out of the trash bin, it's gone forever. I'm kind of holding my breath that I haven't done some of that. Like my Book of Mormon, I don't know, and I got to see this. My Book of Mormon concordance may be out of the trash bin somewhere, but I'll have to see if I can get another one. But anyway, that's exactly what that's talking about. Now it comes down to the sixth verse right here, and here's Paul talking. And he's talking, I believe, from pure understanding of knowing the will of God. He knows that his days on earth have reached a climax. His days of being a good warrior for the Lord, his days of sacrifice and of service, of doing his duty right here, are coming to an end. Ain't going to be any days left, Paul. It's important that you come back. It's important for the body right here that I take you from them so that they can learn how to walk themselves. I'm reading this book about elephants. And they got the mama elephant right here. And she's got the little baby right here. And that little baby, he's got his trunk up on his mama right here. And he is detecting everything that's right or wrong. He is learning from her every step of how he should be. And he has learned that he's got to come when she says come. So I gave an example here. I just read it last night. That mama is in a pen and she can't get out. And her baby is out wandering the woods. So she raised her big old trumpet right here and she toots. And she says, come on home, son. And he could see the baby. And the baby's boy's ears perked up like that. And hey, that was mom. And he noticed right here, he could see his mom right here. And she's looking at him and she tooted right here. He said, but this hay is pretty good right now. So he ignored her. So he's eating right here. And so, boy, she raised that up again. And boy, she toots again right here. You know, he kind of looks at her. Well, she can't get me. She's in that pen. And so that ignoring went on for a little bit. Finally, she let out a little toot right here that means you best get over here. Boy, he did. He comes over there. And he gets over to her, and boy, she whacks him with her trunk. And she said, don't you ever do that again. Boy, he was down like this. And the author was saying, this exactly is what's happening right here. And that little elephant is learning. He's learning just exactly how he's to be. So, here is Paul. He has that understanding. And I don't detect fear in this understanding. I don't detect that there's some anxiety, like, oh boy, I've kind of ignored God. like little baby elephant right here, I'm probably going to get whacked right here. I don't know that. But he says right here that he's talking to Timothy right here. He says, I'm about ready to leave. Now, it says in another place, he's talking about his departure. And he says, I am in a strait. I'm in a difficulty. And the difficulty that I'm in is whether to remain with you or to be with the Lord. Man, I want that faith. I want that. Whether to share your love, to make it my duty to give you my love. I can't wait to get here next Sunday to share my love, to encourage you, to talk with you, to see what I can do to build up the holy faith. My duty. I delight and desire in doing it. But also, I see the Lord. I want to draw near Him. He's been with me all my life. He gives that little Philippians or wherever it's at right here. He said, I've been down in the deep. He saved me from the lion. I've been all of the beaten and stoned, left for dead. The Lord has never left me. And so He is right here. So I'm ready to go. And so His declaration as He leaves right here, it says that I have fought a good fight. In my mind, I see a boxing ring. And I see Paul in there, and I see this big old moloch of a guy right here, and this guy is pummeling Paul right here, and Paul gets some good shots in, and this big guy picks him up and throws him out of the ring, and Paul climbs back in the ring right there and still is defending himself and trying to make good on this battle. And finally he gets in a good lick right here, and boy, there's a big mighty crash, and that big old mullet goes down, and Paul, bruised and bleeding, beat up. Everybody in that audience knows he fought a good fight. He fought a good fight. I fought a good fight, he says. I took it. Philippians 4th chapter says right here, says, whatever it is, in sickness or health or in riches or poverty, whatever it is, I am content. Because I know it is the will of God. And I've consigned and I've relegated, I've given myself to Him. And I no longer own myself. But He's the one that calls the shots and directs me, and I go. My duty. Is there a promise in this anywhere? I fought a good fight. I finished my course. How many medals were given to anybody that in the 7th round, and I saw this actually, this was, what was that? Nick, that Panamanian boxer, boy, he was really famous. But anyway, he gave up right here. No, he said, no mas. Sugar Ray Leonard, and whatever this guy's name was. And he said, no mas, and he gave up. Well, he didn't finish the fight. And for us, what's probably or is happening to us? Well, for all of us right here, we're all getting older. But the devil is implacable, and he never stops. And we can bank on it. The difficulties will always come. There will never be a bright and shiny road, wide and straight, and for us able to just skid into heaven. But it's going to be on a narrow path, and it's going to be hard, and there may be some brambles along the way right here. But he fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I went all the way. And I've kept the faith. You got an enemy who is wanting to steal that from you. We've got a God. And He's in there applauding with you. You've heard these stories there up at the youth camp right here. They have the rod of iron. And it's a rope strung everywhere. You've heard that. Know all about that. And along that rope, they're in the dark, as each faithful one as he's working his way down that rod of iron right here, along to the edge right here, is the devil. And of course, the devil's sowing all kind of lies. It's a person, but they're saying, you know, be careful. There's poison ivy right there. You know, you need to. I wouldn't go there. You know, you're on the rope. I know that. This voice is telling them that they can't even see him right here. But you're almost. You know, you're close right here. I tell you what. There's poison ivy right there. I wouldn't step right here. But you can reach your hand over here on this other side where the rope is right here. Just reach over there. You know, and then you get around that poison ivy. Are you telling me the truth? Yes. Are you sure? Yes. Don't get in that poison ivy. And you think that I can reach around that tree and get hold of that rope on the other side there? Yes, that's the only way you can do it. All right. I'm sorry. You let go. Well, along that rope also, there are those right here that says, don't listen to them. Don't listen. Don't yield. Don't give up. Don't turn loose. Don't heed that diabolical one right here. Listen to what I'm saying. And for those, not many, for those that did right here, made it all the way to the end. In fact, have I told this story here about Eli? We did it. We did that. We've done it several times. And we did it. And I was the one setting people off to begin with. And they'd go. I would tell them this. I said, don't let loose of the rope. Do you hear me? Yes. What did I say? Don't let loose of the rope. Yes. Say it again. Don't let loose. Don't let loose of the rope. Then they'd go. They all did. Except one. And that was Eli Tarbell. And so it was pitch black and dark right here, and everybody had gone through the line, and everybody after that, everybody had failed, and everybody went back up there to the canteen, you know, and we got ice cream and something else for us right here, desserts. So we're eating. We're all up there. Lights are on right here. We're all eating our ice cream. We're looking around. Where's Eli? I don't know. When did you see him last? Well, he was down there. He was there. He was on the rope. He's not here? No. So I went down. My flashlight. Found him. He's at the end. I said, Eli, we're done. You can come on up. No! Beautiful. Just beautiful. That's Paul. That's the duty. That's what it looks like. This is what it's got to be. Henceforth, there is laid up for me. I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Well, just you, Paul? You're the only one going to get it? He said, not just me. But all those who love the Lord and His coming. And so we've got that. We've got that faith. We've got that belief that Jesus, like I said there in the first verse right here, He's coming back. And if we have our hearts, our pure pattern, we want to see the Lord. He's our deliverer. He's the one that I've been waiting for. He's the one that I have been fighting for all of this time. That I've been all of this ordeal right here of struggling and repenting and turning to God and getting out of the muck and finding that straight path and fighting with everything I've got, doing my duty. And there is that promise that we will be with him. He made that promise. And that promise is all those that love his appearing, the love of the Lord. God bless you. That's just a little 8 verses out of your Bible. And I want to tell you right here, the rest of the book is just as good. God bless everyone.